You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September 21st, 2021, Johnson & Johnson claims a two-dose version of its shot, that's the one you were supposedly only going to need one, and they're saying a two-dose version, according to their latest study, shows it is 94% effective against COVID-19. The second shot would amount to kind of a booster. So they're still trying to decide about boosters. Who's going to get them? Originally, it's going to be age 65 and older or those with severe immune issues. So we'll have to wait and see where that falls. But apparently, according to Johnson & Johnson, you've got that shot to begin with. Well, you get a second one, you're 94% effective. But that's 6%. That 6% means we're going to have to lock up the whole nation continually. Right? I mean, after all, we can have 94% of Americans vaccinated, and under this current administration and the thinking and the fear factor, with 6% unvaccinated, we need to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated. So we're going to order, hold them down, and give them a shot if we have to, or pretty close to it. I thought the vaccine was supposed to protect me if I'm around someone who's unvaccinated. There's every reason for Americans to be confused, frustrated, and getting damn right angry lately. Oh, by the way, the FDA is now saying there's a new way that might prove to be really great in fighting coronavirus. A study out of the University of Georgia. It's a drug used to treat gout. Gout. Usually it's used on the market for more than 40 years, minimal side effects. They think it will work. Can you imagine if Trump had made any remarks about gout when he was in office? Oh, you ought to try that gout medicine. Yeah, there he goes, that stupid man again. Same thing about the other drugs he mentioned, right? Suddenly they're suddenly in very big demand and acceptance. We continue to have 15,000 plus Haitians at that Del Rio camp. And the Biden administration began telling journalists kind of quietly, we are going to release some to go take American jobs, to compete for housing, to ask for asylum and green cards, put their children into the crowded classrooms needed by ordinary American kids. The Haitian catch and release process will also be displayed by Haitians' cell phones. So you know that's then going to encourage more Haitians to come. The U.S. border chief says, we are expelling single adult men, but most family units will be processed. And he said, Haitians aren't idiots. They're rational actors. They're going to know, hey, grab me a child, I'll get across the border. Many have already been doing it of other nations. They're going to see they can do the same thing. The National Border Patrol Council Vice President is pushing back about allegations that agents are whipping people, Haitians. He said, our agents don't carry any whips. They're on horses trying to get them to move. They're slapping the reins at them to get them to move out of the way. The CDC is also acknowledging, hear this, CDC is acknowledging Afghans arriving in the U.S. are infected with measles, malaria, and tuberculosis. Those are the Afghans. So we're apparently going to treat them before they leave, give them shots. I don't see anything in there about what we're doing about vaccinating them, because I know Congress just recently, Democrats turned down a mandate that those coming in have to be vaccinated. Oh, by the way, Congresswoman Omar says reference to Haitians, we owe them asylum. Obviously, this is systemic racism at play. My God, how many times can they pull that race card? And here's something you need to know that's just between us and this audience. The word from Costco Wholesale. Membership-only warehouse. A common household item is getting close to a shortage. Just between us now. Toilet paper. Whoops, here we go again. I knew I should have invested in toilet paper. Actually, I did. You want to buy some? It's going to cost you. But I got it. Or a Sears Roebuck catalog.
Larry Connors, USA. News and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
How many people have been returned? How many people are being detained? And how many people have been dispersed? And I want some numbers here. So we've got 1.3 million people. How many people have been returned? How many people are being detained? How many people have been dispersed to all points around America?
There's some of the questions from Senator Johnson of Wisconsin to Mayorkas. They're going to pick it up where he asked that question again and get some answers. This is what he's wanting to know from Mayorkas as he appears in front of the Senate committee. I want some numbers. You keep telling us you don't really know, but you do know you got people. You're going, you're moving them here and there. You know some numbers. Where the hell are the numbers? Because every time you guys come in here, we ask, and you give us the same song and dance again. Well, folks, stand by, because here comes the tap shoe once again.
How many people are being detained? How many people have been dispersed to all points around America?
Senator, I would be pleased to provide you with that data.
I want them now. Why don't you have that information now?
Senator, I do not have that data.
Why not?
For me.
Why don't you have that basic information?
Senator, I want to be accurate in the information.
I'm looking for ballpark figures. Is it about half? Have we dispersed about half of that? Are we up to about 600,000 people we dispersed?
Senator, these are the tools that we employ. We use the Title 42 authority, that is the public health authority, empowered by the Centers for Disease Control to expel individuals in light of the...
So I'm hearing that you're not using that to the full extent, and that we've got 40-50% of people, even apprehended under Title 42, that are not being returned. Is that accurate?
That is actually inaccurate.
Okay, so what is the... Okay, so you, if you're saying that's
Senator,
inaccurate...
Senator, would you care to let the witness finish an answer?
I actually want answers to my questions. What is the real figure then?
If I may say, Senator, we use the Title 42 authority, the public health authority of the Centers for Disease Control, to the fullest extent we are able to.
So what is the percent that you are returning under Title 42? It's about 750,000 people apprehended under Title 42. How many of those individuals have been returned under Title 42?
Senator, I will provide that data to you.
So you're saying that 40-50% is not accurate. If you know that that's not accurate, you must have the real number.
Senator, what I said was not accurate was your assertion that we are not using Title 42 authority to the fullest extent that we
No, that's not what I said at all.
You cannot get through these people. Just simply give us a number. Now, why would they be so hesitant to give the number? We know why, don't we? Because they don't want us to know how they are trying to radically transform America by letting illegals come in and rush amnesty into them, making them citizens. You know, they're already pushing for the Afghans coming in to have citizenship rights almost within immediately. When Mayorkas was down at Del Rio, Texas yesterday, it was hot down there, but I don't think it was as hot as it was in that Senate hearing. And down there he said, I want everyone to know this is not the way to come to the U.S. Our borders are not open. People should not make the dangerous journey. He says that out of one side of his mouth. And then he says, we're also sending people back. He said repatriation flights to Haiti, taking off two or three times daily, most leaving from Laughlin Air Force Base, some from Del Rio International Airport. They claim they processed 3,000 migrants to other areas, relocated by U.S. Coast Guard and other federal officials. So they got a number there. They know how many they put on the flights, but they cannot, will not give a number when they're asked in front of Congress. They just want to say, we're achieving our goals. We're getting there. I don't know what the hell your goal is, and you apparently don't if you can't tell us what the number is. But Mayorkas, in this soft little spoken coloring room world, almost like, and I like Bob Ross. Don't take this the wrong way. They did a documentary on Bob Ross. Many of you will know who he is. He's the artist. He was painting landscapes and getting people involved. I mean, he did hundreds of them in a TV series on PBS and softly talking, almost sensually talking to the canvas and the listeners and the watchers. Maybe Mayorkas is trying that same technique, but I tell you, it's a fail if that's the intent.
We developed a plan, and we were executing on that plan, and therefore...
Mr. Secretary, this happened on your watch. Listen, here's the problem. Every time before you come before this committee, you always say, it's going to get better. Our plan is going to work at some future point. And you also used to say, it's really not as bad as it looks. And then every time you leave, it gets worse and worse. This is a humanitarian crisis in Del Rio. You can spin it whichever way that you want. But you're quite right. We should not minimize the humanitarian conditions for which, frankly, you're responsible. You and your administration are responsible. Tens of thousands of people living in conditions that are startling, brought here because of your policies. Let me give you an example. The Washington Post reported on Sunday that one Haitian woman said that she and her family decided to travel from Chile, where she was residing, to Del Rio because they heard, and I quote, President Biden was letting people in. And of course, you've offered this temporary protected status to Haitians illegally residing in the United States starting in May. Then you halted deportation flights earlier this summer. Don't you think that you bear responsibility for this latest crisis?
Those, of course, the words of Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri, Republican. And there's another very direct question. Don't you think you bear some responsibility, this administration? Because everyone that ran for the Democrat ticket to be in the Oval Office, including Biden, agreed our borders aren't that big of a deal. And crossing a border, coming into our country, should not be a crime. And you can come for any reason. It doesn't have to be for asylum. They think you should be able to cross from Mexico into the U.S. as easily as you and I, as American citizens, travel from state to state. But you or I try to go to Canada, we're going to be stopped and we're going to be questioned. And with the current restrictions, we really can't do that. And if you are an American in Mexico coming back to the U.S., you're under restriction to come back. They're going to want to run through all kinds of tests. They're going to verify who you are. They want a passport. They want to see everything on you. And Canada's not any better. In fact, Canada started shutting down their border when they realized we were not controlling our southern border. But, and it wasn't just for COVID. This is back during the Obama administration when basically the word was getting out, come to the border, it's going to be free, come on through. So once again, Mayorkas will sit there and say, DHS is very concerned that Haitians are receiving false information. They're hearing the borders open, our temporary protective status is available. I want to make sure it's known this is not the way to come to the United States. That is false information. So what, Haitians can't hear? They don't communicate? I know many wouldn't understand English. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. None of us understand Mayorkas. I don't. This mess down in Del Rio. The Biden administration says we will prioritize all single adult Haitians and some Haitian families for deportation. That's what they're saying. And they're also adding unaccompanied children and some families will be allowed to stay in the U.S. and given dates for asylum hearings. And others will be deported to Haiti, including families not claiming asylum. Do you really think that they come up all the way from Haiti and they get here and they're not going to claim asylum? And the single adults are quickly realizing, I'll play the scam. I've got to get a child to go with me, whether it's related to me or not. If I could just grab a child along the way, younger the better, because then they can't say we're not related. And then again, I can also maybe sell that child to a sex porn ring somewhere along the way, or once I get inside the States. You think that doesn't happen? I'm sorry if you're that naive and you don't think children are being sexually abused along the route to Mexico, to our border, and then once they get inside the States, and women, and boys. So again, Senator Hawley trying again with Mayorkas. The question is so damn simple. The answer would be simple, except they think if we can kind of continue to jumble phrases and words around, and I speak in this soft and so tender tone that Hawley, Senator Hawley of Missouri, will look like a big, bad, mean wolf, and I'm just here meek as a lamb.
Do you bear responsibility for the crisis in Del Rio, yes or no?
Senator, the smuggling organizations?
Yes or no, Mr. Secretary? Do you bear responsibility for the humanitarian crisis in Del Rio, yes or no?
Senator, it is my responsibility to address the human tragedy in Del Rio, to address that, and we are doing so. That is my responsibility, and we are executing it as the Department of Homeland.
But you don't think you've played any role, and your policies have played any role in fostering and fomenting this crisis that has ensnared so many thousands of people?
Senator, what we are learning from our interviews with individuals is they are receiving false information and misinformation from the smuggling organizations that traffic in the exploitation of vulnerable individuals.
Well, so in other words, it's someone else's fault. All I can say is, Mr. Secretary, is that sooner or later, this administration is going to have to take responsibility for the crisis that you have fomented at the border that gets worse day upon day. And so far, every time we hear from you, it's somebody else's fault. Something's going to happen later. It's quite unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. The dog ate my homework. Will you buy that excuse? Senator Cruz, Republican, Texas. He criticized Mayorkas' visit to Del Rio, saying it's just, quote, another photo op visit to South Texas in an attempt to save face for President Biden and his administration's failures. And, of course, everybody's asking, where's Kamala? I thought she was given that job. She has been cited in making some remarks. Are you aware of that? Yeah, she did. She came out to make some remarks when there were photos of Border Patrol agents on horses, using the horses to move the Haitians back across the river and not allow them to step onto U.S. soil, and some of the horses brushing up against them, almost knocking people down to some extent because they wouldn't move, or they tried to shove against a horse, which is stupid. And the mounted officers are slapping their reins around at them, not a whip, it's just slapping at them. Get away, don't mess with my horse, keep moving. And then, yeah, she came out briefly, said that was so horrible. Then she goes back into her little shelter. And then the question, are we checking these folks for COVID? Anybody coming across? Stand by.
If somebody walks into the country right across the river, does somebody ask them to see their vaccination card?
Well, let me explain to you again, Peter, how our process works. As individuals come across the border, and they are both assessed for whether they have any symptoms. If they have symptoms, the intention is for them to be quarantined. That is our process. They're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time. I don't think it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. These are individuals, as we've noted and as we've been discussed. We are expelling individuals based on Title 42. Specifically because of COVID, because we want to prevent a scenario where large numbers of people are gathering, posing a threat to the community and also to the migrants themselves. So those are the policies that we put in place, in large part because, again, the CDC continues to recommend Title 42 be in place, given we're facing a global pandemic.
So did we hear that they are absolutely having to show any kind of documentation? No, we did not. And she says, we test because it's our intent to test and make sure they don't have it. That's our intent, but they're not doing it. Typically, according to a senior Homeland Security official, Immigration's Customs Enforcement is testing all migrants for COVID-19 before they deport them back to Haiti. Even taking migrants off flights, putting them in quarantine, apparently. That's what they say. But in a rush to cut the size of the crowd as fast as possible, there are a lot of them that are not tested. Deportees. They're screened for symptoms, supposedly. That's the ones we're sending out. Those coming in, well, we're not giving automatic vaccine shots. We already know that the Haitians, many from Afghanistan, I should say, not the Haitians, are carrying measles, things of that nature. Oh, and we've had, according to Department of Homeland Security, multiple women under that bridge in Del Rio have gone into labor. All the babies delivered safe and healthy. Thank God. For the journey and the trek those women made. I'm glad their babies survived. But, of course, if they were delivered on U.S. soil, they are now U.S. citizens. Don't wish bad on any people. I would love everyone to have what we have in this nation. Freedoms and liberties. That's why we're a beacon to other countries and our success. But at this rate, we're going to not just destroy it. We're going to give it away, and then Americans won't have it. What are the history books going to say? I was going to say 200 years from now. Maybe I should say 100. Maybe I should say 50 years from now. What was America? A test question. When did it cease to exist? I don't like the fact that they could be headed that way. And again today, Joe Biden, in front of the UN, wanted to talk about how we're all going to work together. The pandemic did not call out China. No, not going to do that. And many of those nations he's speaking to out there, they're also dealing with COVID, and they know damn well it came out of China. Didn't want to call them out. Just says we're all going to work together, and we're all going to be a global community. And they say, see, he's not nationalistic like Trump. You don't understand the meaning of nationalistic to that extent. It's not nationalistic that my country wants to rule the world, but the fact that I love my country. I love this country. And more people are trying to get into this country than any other country. Name one that they're trying to get into more so than this. You can't. How about China? You want to try that? My next guest is going to tell you China is getting ready to face a very, very big economic issue. And what kind of repercussions is this going to cause for the world? Gordon G. Chain, coming up next.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota, for life.
Larry Connors, USA.
Glad to have my guest back. Every time we book him, I'm telling you, the Twitter machine and other sources come alive. Folks love hearing from him and hear his latest pronouncements regarding China. Gordon Guthrie Chain, known Gordon G. Chain, on tweet as Gordon G. Chain, columnist, author, lawyer. Welcome aboard again, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Well, now, of course, you've taken a lot of flack over the years because you wrote a book called The Coming Collapse of China. And when it came out in 2001, thought it was going to happen right away. It didn't happen then, didn't happen later, didn't happen. But now, now you might have really been ahead of your time because of what's happening with a lot of money, a public debt already in China at 270% GDP, and this Evergrande Group might default on payments. Explain to us the Evergrande Group and how this fits with China.
Well, Evergrande Group owes about $305 billion, and on Thursday it appears it's not going to make two payments of interest, and it's also not going to make a payment of interest at the end of this month. Lenders may call a default. Maybe Beijing will sit on them. But Evergrande is so huge that many people think it could cause China's Lehman moment. In other words, the moment where the economy collapses. Now, I think Beijing will avoid a Lehman moment, but the price they're going to pay will be decade or decades of no growth and stagnation, just like we saw in Japan in the 1990s. So, Larry, this is a time where China's economy could fall apart, largely because there's more than just one Evergrande out there.
Well, you know, a lot of folks look at that and say, well, that sounds like free enterprise been operating in China. And we can understand the U.S. could face that kind of thing, but a communist-controlled country?
Well, that's a great point. And China did avoid its 2008 downturn, but what it did was increase its debt enormously. And now the debt is so large that they cannot deal with it. So one way or another, China will have a crisis, a severe crisis, that could very well end the Chinese economy as we know it, and certainly could end the Chinese political system. So there is right now an existential crisis for Beijing.
You're talking on the – well, let me ask a question. I was also almost made a statement, but I really need it as a question. Are you talking about on the scale of the collapse of the Soviet Union?
Yes, that is one of the scenarios. I'm not saying it will happen now, but I'm saying it could very well happen now, largely because Beijing can't deal with all the debt. Now, Kyle Bass, who is the Dallas hedge fund manager, estimates that China's debt is three times what America's debt was in 2008. So that gives you some sense of the problems that Chinese leaders now face.
But China could also just say, oh, to hell with it. We're not going to pay anything. And just the rest of the world stuck with it. Because the ripple effects of what China does or does not do will be felt around the world.
It will be felt around the world, but China's debt is not so much owed to foreigners. China owes debt to itself. And a lot of people say, well, because they owe debt to themselves, they can get by this. But internal debt crises are actually harder to solve than foreign ones. Foreign ones, you just stiff the foreigners, and that's very popular politically. But when you owe the money to yourself, it means that domestic parties are going to lose, which makes it politically controversial and very difficult to solve.
They have been very active, and I don't know if Evergrande Group was part of that. You're certainly the expert on buying a lot of land in the U.S., particularly some of the lands out in the western area where maybe they were going to eventually put in major solar panels or turbines and eventually have another control over some of our energy. What about all those land deals?
Well, that's not Evergrande. And what you're specifically referring to, Larry, is the Laughlin Air Force Base in southern Texas, where China bought this enormous tract. And the Trump administration should never have allowed that to occur. And we had the ability to stop it, actually, and we didn't. But, yeah, China's been buying that. It's been buying a lot of Oklahoma and Kansas and the Midwest. That's for other reasons. I think that's because of food security issues that China has. They got a food crisis in addition to everything else. So, yeah, China's a mess right now.
And at the same time, of course, the Taiwan issue. Now, the other day, I don't have the source here in front of me, but he was suggesting that he would not be surprised. Oh, I think it might have been James J. Carafano of the Heritage Foundation saying, I would not be surprised if China has an amphibious assault on Taiwan in the near future. It may not have been Carafano. I shouldn't have said that. But I know you've heard that phrase as well, too. Where do we stand with China and Taiwan, especially with this escalation going on?
Well, that's a great question because we actually don't know. We know, of course, that China has been almost daily incursions into Taiwan's air defense identification zone, which is still international airspace but is considered hostile nonetheless. And China has been a massive propaganda campaign telling the people in Taiwan that the U.S. won't defend it, that China will fall in a couple days. People in Taiwan...
You meant Taiwan would fall in a couple days.
Yeah, Taiwan would fall in a couple days. People in Taiwan don't really believe that, and they're sort of inured to the Chinese propaganda. But Beijing is trying to pressure the island, which they believe should be China's 34th province. People in Taiwan believe they've got a separate sovereign country.
Well, the other thing, the people in Taiwan can see what we did with Afghanistan. and how we abandoned the Afghanistan nation and just gave it all back to the Taliban and didn't really get anything in return. In fact, still have Americans stranded in that country. That raises a lot of questions for all allies of the U.S. Are you really going to be there to back us?
Yeah, and that is something the Biden administration really didn't take into account when it had it authorized this hasty withdrawal. Over the objections, by the way, of the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
Right. That's what we've been told, anyway. You're right.
Yeah.
You're listening, Gordon G. Chain. You can follow him at Twitter, Gordon G. Chain. Do you have another point on that? I have another direction I want to go, but I want to let you sum that up, sir.
No, it's just that we've disheartened our allies across the world, not just in Asia.
All right. There's another issue that September the 19th, that we had a summit where they were condemning the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, specifically at the UK Parliament, about organ donation as a world summit on combating and preventing forced organ harvesting. And the direction was, the point being, is that the Chinese Communists have been basically dealing in commercialized murder and selling organs for profit.
Well, that's certainly true. I think you're referring to a private tribunal run by Sir Jeffrey Nice.
Correct.
Who is famous human rights.
And Lord Philip Hump's part of it as well, yeah.
And it's clear. They've clearly documented that China's been killing people for their organs to sell. This has been going on for decades. It's horrendous. And the world has sort of not paid very much attention to it. And what we Americans can do is to make it illegal to go to China for organs, because we're fueling that trade, and that's to our shame.
What are we doing to prevent the organs being shipped out of China to other places?
I don't think we're doing anything.
And I assume the imprisoned Falun Gong and Christians and Muslims, the Uyghurs, all those are the victims generally. Is that probably true?
Certainly the Falun Gong, certainly the Uyghurs and Kazakhs and other Turkic minorities. I don't think that they have been harvesting organs from Christians, but we shouldn't be surprised if that is in fact the case. But the Sir Jeffrey Nice's tribunal is thoroughly documenting this, and it makes a case which Beijing can't refute.
In our final 2 minutes, sir, let's go back to the beginning of this topic, and that if China sees this major default inside the country, if it gets so bad, would it amount to, that was the Soviet Union issue, I mean, the citizens reaching a point where they've had it and they actually rebel and the communist Chinese government cannot prevent it? Do you see that happening?
That is a possibility. We know that Chinese citizens have already been protesting at the headquarters of Evergrande. There are 1.6 million or so Chinese who have put down payments on apartments with Evergrande and will never see it unless Beijing forces other property developers to take up the obligations. In other words, spread the pain. That's probably what will happen. But you could see this getting out of hand. So that's also a possibility, that there's just mass protest.
If that happens, what will the U.S. be facing and the rest of the world?
Well, there'll be a financial contagion. We saw that on Monday where our stock market dropped, 618 points, 1.8%. People on Wall Street should have known this was coming. So this should have occurred a long time ago. We should be delinking our financial markets. We should be delinking our economies, because China's going down the tubes one way or another at some point in the not too distant future, if not now. We shouldn't allow China to drag us down with them.
All right. Gordon, as always, I appreciate having you, sir. Truly, thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry.
You bet. Gordon G. Chain. You can follow him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chain. And now we come to the elite who do not have to wear a mask or be vaccinated if they don't want to.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
From my perspective, you know, I was there, I was eating, and I was drinking, and I was sitting with my friends, and everyone who came in there was vaccinated. So the fact that we have turned this into a story about being maskless, no, I'm not going to sip and put my mask on, sip and put my mask on, sip and put my mask on, eat and put my mask on. While I'm eating and I'm drinking, I'm going to keep my mask off.
There. Actually, I agree with her. But the issue is, she is one of the ones demanding everybody else follow the rules that she said, I'm not going to do it that way. That is Mayor London Breed of San Francisco. She was in a Tenderloin Club, the Black Cat, I think. The Black Cat, a club in the Tenderloin. And a San Francisco Chronicle reporter shot some video of her singing and dancing without the mask, not just sitting and eating, singing and dancing, surrounded by an equally unmasked crowd. Her own health order that she signed off on reads, quote, masks must be worn inside unless actively eating or drinking. So everything she was saying then, I'm not going to take a sip of my drink and then put my mask on. I'm not going to take a bite of food and then put my mask on. Well, I agree with that. I agree. That would sound stupid, wouldn't it? But what's the difference between sitting at your table and having to do that, and then you want to get up and go dance, and you take your mask off? And one of the reporters said, when she insisted I was eating and drinking, saying, we didn't see you actively eating or drinking. And then she said, the mayor responded, so when you go to a restaurant, do you sip, put your mask on, sip, put your mask on? The reality of what we're asking people to do is go out, enjoy our city, but also be mindful COVID's still there. Well, it's pretty damn hard to go enjoy your city, first of all, because of all the feces spread all over your streets with the homeless people. COVID is one of your least things at this point. And then a few blocks from City Hall, people out at restaurants and bars, they were asked by some other reporters, what do you think of the way Mayor Breed has been responding? You could imagine. One, and these are, most of them are probably very liberal. A San Francisco college student said it's a bit hypocritical if she's not wearing it, trying to enforce the rules. Well, she did learn something at college, I'll be darned. And a restaurant owner said, these vaccine checks at the door, he said, full unmasking should be allowed. If everyone drink or ate every bite, you had to put your mask on. It's not agreeable even to the restaurants. Another one says, does this have shades of Nancy Pelosi getting her hair done when everybody was told to close up, or Governor Newsom eating at the French Laundry? And the response from one of the ABC reporters, of course, that's why it's news. We're going to watch it. These are the ones calling the shots. When you call the shots, you got to follow them as well. Well, here comes Breed. She said, this shouldn't even be a story.
We were all having a good time. And again, all vaccinated. So the fact that this is even a story is sad. And it's sad because we're missing out on the fact that we have live performances. We in San Francisco have done an incredible job around COVID. Yes, we have challenges, but this is now a distraction. And I would hope that people would spend more time on enjoying San Francisco, of going to go see Maurice Mulbetta Brown, who's only going to be here for another week at the Black Cat, and make the stories about how incredible and talented these artists are, and less about something that shouldn't even be a story in the first place.
I think that plane was going to bomb her. No, it was just flying nearby going into the airport. She got a good plug in for the performer. That was nice. She said, we just want to enjoy a night out. Well, everybody does. This is in San Francisco. So, again, if liberals in San Fran, like the mayor, are kind of tired of doing the mask thing, and they've been vaccinated. See, that's the other thing. She's up there. We're dancing with everybody, and everybody's been vaccinated. I guess she assumes or knows. I don't know if they actually check everyone coming in to make sure they have a documentation. Well, yeah, you shouldn't have to wear the mask. Unless CDC and Dr. Fake decide, yeah, you still need to. I know they say, she said, we're tired of it. No kidding. No kidding. So are we. So I hate to say it, my friend, as conservative as some of you might be, you're just like the San Francisco mayor. There, I said it. And, of course, as I said, they've had conventions canceled going into San Fran before COVID ever came up because of the numerous homeless people just relieving themselves wherever they want. But if you're the mayor and you go in the club and dance, have a good time, well, what the hell, why not? I hope she calls me next time. I'll go. Hey, as always, I appreciate you listening. Thank you. Let others know about us, will you? And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.